Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 38 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kennealy Roberts.
It all depends on, too, how much rain you've had going into the event.
Eastern Kentucky is under a flash flood watch.
Another public forum may be in the works in Moorhead.
Rowan County now has a fine-free library.
The Army has selected Fort Knox to house its new headquarters.
A bill aimed at curbing teen vaping has passed the Kentucky House Committee.
The House has passed a 911 funding fee.
The Senate has passed a dual credit bill.
In sports, several 16th region teams are in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain tonight with the temperature rising to around 45 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The National Weather Service in Jackson has placed a flash flood watch for eastern Kentucky. According to meteorologist Dustin Jordan, a flash flood is caused by a short duration of heavy rainfall, with rain before the event as well. As of now, 1 to 2 inches of rain is expected across eastern Kentucky. Jordan says residents in the area need to take caution.
I think the big thing here is to just watch out for any high water. Just turn around, don't drown, and remember, don't drive across flooded roadways, and heed any of your police departments or fire departments or emergency managers as they give you instruction. Especially don't go around barricades and that kind of thing that are blocking the high water.
Jordan advises residents to pay attention to updated warnings as they are released.
Officials with the city of Moorhead are considering holding a public forum following one held earlier this week. The Moorhead-Rowan County Chamber of Commerce hosted a meeting at the Moorhead Conference Center Monday for public input regarding a strategic plan for the area. While those in attendance discussed topics such as livability, safety, and infrastructure, there were also those who took the opportunity to discuss matters that laid outside the purview of the meeting. Issues such as noticeably higher gas prices in Moorhead compared to surrounding areas and increased rates for activities within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Following that forum was Moorhead's regular monthly city council meeting, where Mayor Laura White Brown discussed what she saw.
There were a lot of things that came up that don't relate directly to the strategic plan that I think people really want to be heard on. So maybe we can look at setting up another date to do something like that. I mean, we did it a few months back, but I think it's probably time to do another one to kind of hear from everyone.
An official announcement for the forum has not been made. In the meantime, Moorhead City Council keeps a slot for public comments in their agenda during their regular meetings on the second Monday of each month.
The Rowan County Public Library has officially gone fine-free. Joining a growing number of libraries in Kentucky, RCPL will no longer charge overdue fines on items that are returned late. Marilyn Friedhoff is the Patrons Account Manager at RCPL. She says the Library Board of Trustees voted in favor of the decision in order to remove barriers to library use and to open the door to literacy, especially for children.
We also had people who were embarrassed to return materials that they had late, that they were too afraid to return them because they were just embarrassed to bring them back. Where usually what happens is, you know, somebody brings something back and we're like, oh, great, thanks for returning this. And we put it back in the collection and, you know, everybody goes back to using the library again.
Patrons will still be held responsible for the replacement cost of damaged or lost items. They will be charged and blocked for any unreturned items after 30 days. Once items are returned, however, they can be unblocked and continue to borrow library materials.
The Pikeville Medical Center has been awarded a $21,000 grant from Cosair Charities to purchase a panda warmer for its emergency department. The panda warmer allows babies to be free of blankets during treatments to allow better access to the area. Warmth is a key factor in keeping patients comfortable, especially in infancy. It also has multiple attachments and positions to prevent the babies from being transferred to multiple machines. The department has recently earned its Pediatric Ready certification from the Kentucky Emergency Medical Services for Children, making it one of three hospitals in Kentucky to receive the certification.
The United States Army has selected Fort Knox to house its new headquarters. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
The new headquarters, which will be called 5th Corps, will bring approximately 635 additional soldiers to Kentucky. Earlier this month, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Senator Rand Paul, and Congressman Brett Guthrie urged the Army to select Fort Knox for its new headquarters. Following the announcement, McConnell said, quote, "Fort Knox is the best choice to meet our urgent national defense needs. With its unmatched level of community support, Fort Knox will offer 5th Corps a warm welcome." The Army plans to activate its new headquarters by the fall of this year. I'm Haley Hansen.
A bill aimed at keeping vaping products or e-cigarettes away from young people has cleared a Kentucky House committee. Lawmakers passed House Bill 69 in the Committee on Licensing, Occupations, and Administrative Regulations. The bill's sponsor, Representative Jerry Miller, was quick to say it will not be a ban on vaping products. Abby Piper with Jefferson County Schools tells WKYT vaping products are becoming a big problem for schools.
In the first 74 days of school this year, we documented 148 vaping incidents. Last year, in the same amount of time, that number was 92.
The bill would require vaping retailers to register with the state alcoholic beverage control, pay fees, and demand no sales to anyone under the age of 18. The bill would also set up a $100 fine for minors caught buying or attempting to buy vaping products or e-cigarettes.
A bill that would restore over $1 million a year in funding to 911 service centers across the state has passed the Kentucky House. House Bill 208 is expected to safeguard 911 service center funding by requiring wireless providers of Lifeline Federal Assistance telephone service to make monthly 911 service fee payments to the state. Some Lifeline providers had stopped paying the fees to the state in recent years, according to bill sponsor Representative Rob Rothenberger. Rothenberger said making sure the state continues to receive the 911 service fee will help the current implementation of so-called next-generation 911 service, an advanced model for wireless emergency communications across the nation. Voting against the bill was Representative Stan Lee of Lexington. He pointed out that the 70-cent monthly 911 service fee required under current state law is also required on Lifeline cell phones, provided by the federal government at no cost to eligible low-income users. House Bill 208 passed by a vote of 93-1. It now goes to the Senate.
Legislation to ensure dual credit hours earned in high school would be transferable to Kentucky's colleges and universities passed the Senate Tuesday by a 38-0 vote. WMKY's Joe Lewis has the story.
The measure, known as Senate Bill 101, would require post-secondary institutions to accept dual credits from high schools. In dual credit, a student is enrolled in a course that allows the pupil to earn high school credit and college credit simultaneously. Senate Republican Whip Mike Wilson of Bowling Green said SB 101 was the result of the Kentucky Career and Technical Education Task Force that met during the interim. The task force examined Kentucky's various CTE programs across the state. Wilson, who sponsored SB 101, said the task force identified a growing number of students taking dual credit classes in high school that didn't transfer to post-secondary institutions. Wilson said the goal of SB 101 and prior legislation is to make college more affordable by giving kids a head start. The idea is that it's more cost-effective for students to earn the credits in high school than at a university. SB 101 now goes to the House of Representatives for its consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
A pilot program designed for adult learners who want to obtain their GED, certificate, or college degree has landed its first state, Kentucky. The program will involve training of local volunteers who will reach out to adult learners in the community. According to the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education, there is an estimated 1.2 million adult learners in the Commonwealth. Jen Schramm is a labor market issue experiment with the AARP Public Policy Institute. She says educational merit will go a long way in the workforce.
We want to be able to help adults find ways for them to meet their educational goals, whether they're trying to complete a GED, a college certificate, or getting an associate's or a bachelor's degree. We want to make sure that they are aware of the different paths that are available to them in Kentucky.
AARP expects by 2030, at least 60% of working-age adults in Kentucky will need a post-secondary degree or credential to meet workforce demands. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457. A Kentucky clerk mismanaged her office's finances and failed to keep up with some tax bills, leaving the county short about $40,000. That's according to a review by State Auditor Mike Harmon. The Herald Leader reports Harmon found multiple issues in the office of Owsley County Clerk Shana Oliver. According to the paper, the audit found Oliver is not fulfilling her duties, which include preparing taxes and collecting fees that help fund libraries, schools, and other services. Harmon's review charges that the clerk did not properly reconcile the office's bank account, finish required reports, or prep taxes on time. Because of the mistakes, Harmon says the county is owed more than $28,000 from 2017 and more than $11,000 from 2016. Oliver has not yet commented on the report. The matter will be referred to Attorney General Daniel Cameron.
The identity of a teenager killed in a Lexington shooting has been released. WKYT reports the shooting happened around 11:30 p.m. Monday in the 1300 block of Nancy Hanks Road off of Red Mile Road. The victim is 15-year-old Antoine Roberts, a student at Lafayette High School. Lexington Police Lieutenant Albert Johnson says Roberts was an innocent bystander in the latest of a string of 9 citywide shootings.
They're not necessarily random. They are targeting a particular group of people or a particular person, we believe.
Grief counselors are on hand at the high school to help students with the loss of their classmate.
A homicide investigation is underway after Lexington police responded to a call in the 2200 block of Alexandria Drive Monday morning. Police found one woman dead in the home and called in investigators, saying the death looked suspicious. Neighbor Austin Thomas tells WKYT what he heard and how unsettled the area is.
It was just a loud pow, and it was right here. You don't know if you're sitting in your living room one night and, you know, you just hear 2 shots and it could come through your window. It could hit you, your kid, your family.
Authorities are waiting for an autopsy report before releasing the name of the victim and the cause of death. Those with information about this case are encouraged to call Lexington Police at 859-258-3600 or anonymously through Bluegrass Crime Stoppers at 859-253-2020.
Lexington Police are investigating early morning shootings in which 2 homes were targeted on Wednesday. WMKY's Rachel Turner has the story.
The same 2 homes that were shot into Wednesday morning were among a string of early morning shootings on Monday. Police said officers responded to a report of shots fired, then saw a car fleeing the scene. Officers followed the car until it crashed into a tree on Redding Road at Manowar. 2 men from the car were detained by police. 1 man was taken to the hospital because of injuries from the crash. The other man was taken to police headquarters for questioning. 2 hours later, police responded to a report of shots fired on Georgetown Street. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
And now taking a look at your region's weather, tonight 100% chance of rain with patchy fog around 8 p.m. and the temperature rising to around 45 degrees. Thursday, a 40% chance of rain with patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise cloudy with the temperature falling to around 38 degrees. Thursday night, chance of flurries before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 19. Friday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 28. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 16. And now taking a look at some of the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. It's currently 38 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, Mount Sterling, Ashland, and Grayson. It's 39 degrees in Inez. And here on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 38 degrees.
On our feature segment today, former Morehead State University cross-country and track athlete Clay Dixon is now the head coach of the track and cross-country programs. WMKY's Ty Martin has the story.
Head coach Clay Dixon says he was excited and surprised for his appointment.
Oh, I mean, it's like a dream come true. If you asked me 5, 6, 7 years ago when I was like a freshman or sophomore, I would have never thought I would have been at this point. Literally just some guy who just kind of ended up on the team, and then, you know, I do all the right things, and I guess I just lucked out, and here I am.
Dixon says he would like to gauge where everyone is in the upcoming Women's Track and Field Indoor Invitational at Marshall.
The opener, really, I just wanted to get a baseline effort. Some of them I just had to do like almost a workout effort for the first half, and then the second half kind of, you know, see what they could do. But really, I haven't seen them since the end of cross-country season, so I was just trying to figure out what kind of shape everybody's in. So, I figure out where we're at, and now it's just, you know, I know where we have our starting point, and now we just kind of go with the season plan that I have laid out, and we're just going to go from there.
Dixon says he's looking forward to seeing his team's progress this season.
Really, I'm just looking forward to, there's a bunch of highlights with track and field, but we got quite a few people that I'd say that there's about 3 or 4 records that are in danger of coming down this year. A few of them have been standing for about close to 10 years, so I'm looking forward to that.
This year's team are both very young, and Dixon is looking forward to see them develop.
We've got a few in-state and out-of-state guys and girls. Let's see, we got 2 guys who placed, I believe, in the top 20 at the state meet this past cross-country season, and then one dude, he's from Ohio, and he did pretty well at the state meet. And then we have one girl, she shaved a minute off her 5K time from the time that she visited to the end of her cross-country season, so we're really looking forward to that.
For a full schedule of the Morehead State men and women's track and field teams, visit msueagles.com. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
It's 4:48 and 38 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Sarah Mead, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this rather wet Wednesday afternoon. Nacogdoches Miller has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Morehead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the Morehead Antique and Art Market March 6th and 7th at the Morehead Conference Center. Vendors from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia, juried art market and professional appraisers, 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday, March 6th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th. The Morehead Antique and Art Market, March 6th and 7th at the Morehead Conference Center in downtown Morehead.
A few 16th region teams are in action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller. Taking a look at girls' high school basketball action tonight, 10 and 15 Fleming County hosts Robertson County at 7:30. Top region seed Russell heads to Lewis County. The Lady Lions stand at 14 and 12 on their season. And 6 and 15 Raceland hosts 6 and 19 Greenup County. Both those games are set to begin at 7:30. In boys 16th region action tonight, East Carter hosts Boyd County. The Raiders stand at 9 and 11, while the Lions hold a 14 and 11 record. Fleming hosts Sawyer. The Panthers have just 8 wins this season, while the Spartans stand at 13 and 13. 13 and 8 West Carter travels to Russell. The Red Devils are 8 and 13 on their season. All of tonight's boys games are set to begin at 7:30. We'll have scores from all of tonight's matchups tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Round County boys basketball team is back in the gym this afternoon. The Vikings fell to Ashland Blazer at home last night, 68-62, breaking a 7-game win streak. The Tomcats were able to hold on to their undefeated season, moving to 24-0. Roundhead coach Sean Thacker says his team will spend some time at the free throw line before the next matchup.
They were 72 tonight and we were 60. You know, and we're right there second and third in the state. But, you know, we're second or third, which now they'll be second. We'll move down three, four, whatever. But, you know, you got to make your free throws when you get those opportunities to get there.
The Vikings travel to East Carter on Thursday night for a 7:30 matchup. The Morehead State women's basketball team will face off with in-state rival Eastern Kentucky tomorrow night. The Eagles are 5-7 in conference play, looking to bounce back from Saturday's overtime loss at Eastern Illinois. Head coach Greg Todd says EKU has had some great non-conference wins this season.
In the conference, they've been very competitive. Our conference is, I think, the highest ranked it's been in many, many years. And they've lost some close games, but they're still in the race to be in the top eight. So it's going to be a hard-fought game. It's probably a must-win for them, and obviously a very important game for us as well.
Tip-off at Johnson Arena is set for 5 p.m. The MSU men's basketball team is back at home Thursday night to take on in-state foe Eastern Kentucky University. It is the longest-running rivalry in the Ohio Valley Conference. Eagles head coach Preston Sprodlin says the game is one that everyone circles on the calendar each year.
You know, there's going to be a huge student turnout anyway. We're going to have a lot of community members. And, you know, that's the one game that everybody in the community, when I'm out and about on a daily basis, they always say, "Coach, when's that Eastern Kentucky game?" We love that Eastern Kentucky game. We can't wait to be there for that. So I know we're going to have a great crowd, and that's something that our players are really going to feed off of.
It's the first matchup between MSU and EKU this year. The Colonials are 9-3 in conference, while the Eagles are 6-6 in OVC play. Tip-off for the rivalry game is set for 7 p.m. at Johnson Arena tomorrow night. Morehead State Baseball opens the 2020 season this weekend. First-year head coach Mick Aoki takes the helm of a club that went 40-21 last season. He believes he has the foundation of a team that can be successful again this season.
They're great kids, hardworking, blue-collar kids, do a great job of representing themselves as Eagles, and really looking forward to it. You know, we've got a good group of older guys on the mound. We have some experience in the field. So I think we're poised to have a good year.
The Eagles begin play on Friday when they open a four-game series against Michigan State. The two teams will square off in Charleston, South Carolina. The Morehead State softball team is gearing up to open regular season play this weekend. The Eagles travel to Charlotte, North Carolina, where they will face North Carolina A&T and Charlotte in doubleheaders. MSU head coach Samantha Jones says her team is ready to face off with two good opponents.
They're getting tired of playing against each other, so I completely understand that mindset. But they're doing really good. They're working hard, and I really appreciate the growth that they're making both on the field and off the field. So I'm happy with the progress.
Game time on Saturday is set for 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., The Eagles will play again Sunday at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Morehead State football has bestowed its 2019 postseason awards on seven individuals. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
The awards include the Phil Sims Offensive MVP Isaiah Aguero, Dave Haverdick Defensive MVP Vaughn Taylor Jr., John Christopher Special Teams MVP Andrew Foster, Apple Academic Award Cam Marriott, Mike Gottfried C3 Award DJ Nicolescu, and the Offensive Micah Williams and Defensive Isaac Armstrong Scout Team Players of the Year. Taylor, a junior defensive end from Washington, D.C., was awarded PFL Defensive Player of the Week three times during the season. Foster, also from Knoxville, appeared in all of the Eagles' games as the primary kicker and punter. Marriott is a sophomore offensive lineman from Redlands, California. Nicolescu, a junior linebacker from Corona, California, finished with 13 tackles. Williams was a freshman running back in 2019, hailing from Louisville, Kentucky. Armstrong, who saw action on special teams during his first season too, is a linebacker from Lexington, Kentucky. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Two University of Kentucky rifle athletes have qualified to compete in the 2020 Olympic Games. Will Shaner, a sophomore, and Mary Tucker, a freshman, earned a spot on Team USA, according to the University of Kentucky. Shaner and Tucker are two of just four athletes who qualified for the team. It's a first for UK's rifle team and something that has greatly excited the team's coach. The 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo begin July 24th. Air rifle shooting is scheduled for July 25th and July 26th. And that's a look at sports. For WMKY, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball host Eastern Kentucky University tomorrow night. The women's game starts at 5 p.m. and the men tip off at 7 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose to all-time highs as investors shook off concerns over how the coronavirus would impact corporate profits and the global economy. The Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 275.08 at 29,551.42, so the blue chip average now less than 500 points away from 30,000. The S&P 500 was up 21.7 at 3379.45, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 87.02 at 9725.96. United Health Group climbed more than 4% to lead Dow Industrial stocks higher, and the healthcare sector in general was very strong today. Nike, Apple, and Caterpillar all rose more than 2%. Tech and energy were actually the best-performing sectors in the S&P 500, climbing more than 1% each. As of Tuesday night, China's National Health Commission had reported 97 additional deaths, with total confirmed cases passing 44,000. However, the pace of new reported cases appears to be slowing down as they hit their lowest levels since late January. The gaming stocks, Wynn Resorts and Las Vegas Sands, which both have been very much under pressure because of the coronavirus, had very good moves today. Each rose more than 3%. Those gains follow an upgrade from a Bank of America analyst who recommended buying the stocks because coronavirus cases were in the process of leveling out. Also, your big airline stocks benefited today from the perception that the coronavirus is starting to become more controlled. Delta and American Airlines were very strong, with Delta climbing 1.5% and American Airlines climbing 2.1%. In the commodities markets, oil had a huge rebound, climbing 3.25%, with crude oil prices finishing at $51.56 a barrel. Gold was down 10 cents, very little change, finishing at $1,570 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.625%. Asia was also strong, with the Nikkei up 0.75% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.78%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 16 cents at $54.77, Lowe's up 2 at $125.03, Delta Airlines up 82 cents at $59.48, Marathon Petroleum up 2.18 at $58.94, and Yum Brands was up $1.33, finishing at $105.38. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting the Tedeschi Trucks Band in concert 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Award-winning vocalist Susan Tedeschi and husband Derek Trucks, a 15-year veteran of the Allman Brothers Band. Grammy Award winners, the Tedeschi Trucks Band, on tour supporting their latest release, Signs. The Tedeschi Trucks Band at the Mountain Arts Center, 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Tickets and information online at macarts.com.
Taking another look at your region's weather, tonight a 100% chance of rain with patchy fog around 8 p.m. with the temperature rising to around 45. Thursday, a 40% chance of rain and patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise cloudy with the temperature falling to around 38. Thursday night, a chance of flurries before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 19. Friday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 28.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the Rowan County Public Library offers programs for all ages, meetings and study rooms, wireless internet, and a convenient drive-thru. Items may be checked out with no fine, fees, or late returns. The Rowan County Public Library is open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays from 1 to 5 p.m.
Celebrate Valentine's Day with Le Cabaret at the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 14th. Enjoy tasty desserts, local talent, music, and fun. Tickets are $15.
The public is invited to see We Believe in Dinosaurs, a documentary film on creationism, Noah's Ark, and science at the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. Part of the Meet the Maker film series, discussion follows with the directors. Reception begins at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 18th. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Cody Robinson, Nacogdoches Miller, Lori Likens, Sarah Fashipe, Shamari Mosley, Eden Jordan, Rachel Turner, and Sarah Mead and Nacogdoches Miller. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Paul Miles, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Ty Martin. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.